Good afternoon, Mr. Danny West. How are you?
Afternoon, buddy. How are y'all?
We're doing good. Before we dive in, Todd Finsteve, Danny's been holding, so let's go to Todd Finsteve. Todd Finsteve, you still there?
I am still here, guys. I'm sorry. I lost coverage coming back from a little bit earlier. But hey, here's the thing I want to mention. I was listening to your show, and at the very beginning, when y'all were talking about especially Saban possibly having to listen for $10 million, And I understand, and I don't blame him for listening. If he ever leaves Alabama for $10 million, I totally understand it. If that offer's true, but let me explain something. A friend of mine, and I'm not gonna go all Michael and Stuttgart that I know everything and this is all fact. But I got a friend of mine in Tuscaloosa who goes to church with the Sabans, okay? And Miss Saban, Nick's wife, loves it in Tuscaloosa. And as many people know, a happy wife makes a lot of good choices. And I'm not saying that they would ever leave Tuscaloosa, but they love it in Tuscaloosa. She does, at least, and they've got that Nick's kids. And I don't ever see him. I see him retiring there. I hope he never leaves. But I just, you know, I think, you know, the take that I got is, man, his wife really, really enjoys it in that area. So, and they've got a nice place there, and they're not too far away from, and he has access to the university jet a couple of times a year. So, you know, he can pretty much do whatever he wants there.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
you're right.
And the other point is, okay, let's say Texas was to offer him 10, and then you got to think Bama would come up a little bit. So it's not like he's losing 10 or whatever by not going or gaining 10. The difference would be 2 or 3. And then it's another good point is you got to move your family and go build new relationships. And if the wife's happy, then everybody's happy, right?
Well, here's what I see. Here's what I see one day, and this is sort of my dream as a Bama guy, is I'd love to see Saban coach another 4 or 5 more years, and then eventually, because he likes the whole sports thing and control stuff, maybe become the athletic director there for a while.
Well, and
that's
build
the other program.
Todd Finsteve, after Mal Moore did pass away, and you look at Nick Saban and where he is in age, and the AD that is in there now, I think that Nick Saban, 5 more years at Alabama, and then he becomes the athletic director.
And that's why I think there's going to be schools calling, there's going to be pro teams calling, but I think sometimes that wife may has a little bit more pull than some boosters in some places. So we'll see. Great show, guys, and Cartridge World does take care of me when I need stuff as well for my business at the house. So I appreciate it, Cartridge World. Appreciate it, 103.7 The Buzz.
There you go, Tide fan. Thanks. Appreciate the call. All right, Danny, let's get into it today. Obviously, Hogs helped their chances this past weekend with the 4-star Wisconsin commit Craig Evans.
Yeah, they had 4 official visitors this past weekend, had a good recruiting weekend, but I do think the biggest news coming out was Craig Evans finally getting down here for his official visit. Obviously, for those who don't know, this is a 4-star defensive tackle who committed to Brett Bielema at Wisconsin. Bielema takes the Arkansas job. Evans decommits from Wisconsin, only to recommit to him about a month later. So it's kind of been a shaky situation between he and Wisconsin. But, guys, I still feel good about Craig and Arkansas. I think already felt good before the visit, and now after talking to him earlier this week, I think Arkansas really has a great shot at this guy. Don't know when it might happen, but I do think Arkansas is the team to beat. He came down, he got a lot of time with the players and the staff, and of course he's already said Charlie Partridge is by far his favorite coach that's recruiting him. Got to spend a lot of time with Bielema at Bielema's house and DeArthur Cowan, who is also from Mississippi. Evans grew up in Mississippi, so he's not a true Wisconsin guy. So, everything went according to plan. I think Arkansas put its best foot forward, and now they've really set themselves up for a lot of success, I think. If you can get a guy like Craig Evans to go along with a Bijan Jackson and then close on a guy like Josh Frazier here at Springdale Harbor, I think you really set yourself up pretty well there, because all 3 of those guys, you got to remember, had offers from Alabama. So you start talking about beating Alabama for defensive tackles, and now you're talking. But good recruiting weekend, Trey.
Now, is Craig Evans, what position on the O-line does he play in high school, and what would he project at the college level?
No, he's a defensive tackle. He's a 3 technique.
Okay.
You know, he's about 6'2", 300, 305, somewhere in that range. Big, good-looking kid. Got all the frame and the strength and the quickness on film that you like. So, very impressive defensive tackle.
All right, let's go to Don in Magnolia. Don, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you, Don?
Hey, doing great. You know, I went to the Samford game a couple of weeks ago, and I want to say this. I was at the 69 game in Fayetteville, and you can't imagine what it was like to hear those helicopters coming up that valley. But I will say this. For South Arkansas people, War Memorial has always been just a great place to go and not have to drive quite as far. But I'm going to say this. I was disappointed, first off, with the crowd, and second off, by the second quarter, we were sitting on the east side, and they ran out of water and Gatorade. And I just think it's atrocious. Now, Hog fans were fantastic. It was a fantastic ball game, even though it was a lackluster performance until they finally got that final drive going. But speaking for people from South Arkansas, you know what? It's kind of disappointing to see that stadium not filled up. I don't care who your competition is. And I know you guys have been beating this drum left and right, but for folks from South Arkansas, it's still a big deal for us to drive to the Hog ball game, even though we can see them on TV most of the time. But what y'all's take on this? I know you talk about it every day or thereabouts, especially moving the games to Fayetteville.
All right, thanks, Don. We'll talk about it. We've talked about it, and I've always said I think my first games to see Arkansas play football were at War Memorial Stadium when I was a kid, fourth row, south end zone.
Well, you know, I've had a couple of different takes on it. I really hope that they play at least one game, whether it be Ole Miss or Mississippi State, in a conference game each year there. I think that would be really good. But Danny kind of helped us out as far as when we were talking to him last time, that you can't do some of the same things recruiting-wise that you can do at home games. But then I find out that they were able to offer a kid before a game, which you can't do at a Fayetteville game. So it kind of works both ways.
Danny, what are those differences?
Yeah.
Well, there's quite a few. The off-campus deal is the big one for me. You can't offer a kid while he's on the campus up here. It's against the NCAA rules. But you can play a home game, 250 miles down the road, and you can offer a kid during that home game. It makes no sense to me. There's a lot of quirky rules like that need to be addressed. One of the biggest things, and I said this, 2 weeks ago whenever we were talking about it, Brett Bielema, anything that hinders him in recruiting, I think he's really going to take a strong look at that. Now, for me personally, I'm not voting for them to move out of Little Rock. I'm like Trey. I grew up in South Arkansas. Those were my first memories of going to War Memorial, seeing the Razorbacks. So I totally understand the South Arkansas viewpoint, but at the end of the day, if something doesn't change as far as recruiting rules, Brett's going to probably take a strong look at least taking one game a year away from Little Rock. That's just my gut feeling on that.
Well, and also you look at Jeff Long, not really the Arkansas connection 20 years ago, where, Coach Nutt had that connection. And so I just think it wouldn't be – they don't have that emotional attachment, I don't think, to Little Rock as some of the other coaches or other people. So, I really believe that after 2016 that at best there's going to be one game. Mm-hmm. And there might be some years where there's zero games, but at best there will be one game.
I think you're right, man. I'll also say this. As far as the crowd that day, I think 47,200 or whatever showed up. I was disappointed in the crowd, but, it's hard. It's easy for me to sit here as a media member. Parking's paid for. I get in the game free. I don't blame people. The way tickets are and concessions, that's not a cheap deal anymore. So it's hard for me to sit back and criticize the fans for not showing up when, a game like Samford, I probably wouldn't have shown up either if I hadn't had to be there. So
yeah, but I will say this, though, in your defense, Danny, you're from Northwest Arkansas. There were some media members from Northwest Arkansas that didn't show up for that game. At least you showed up.
That's a good point.
Let's go to Craig in Maumelle. Craig, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, thanks. Hey, Danny, did you mention that Solomon Thomas high school team is going to be on Fox Sports 1 tonight. And then if you could, just give us a quick review on Solomon Thomas. Does he rank in Texas? Do they rank them as, you know, is he the number one defensive end in Texas or stuff like that? And then also, could you comment on, I think it's Chris Warren the third? I don't know. I think he's a running back. Do you know anything about him? That's all I got. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Craig.
Yeah, Solomon Thomas. I'm not sure of his exact ranking in Texas, but obviously a big-time kid. I did not know he's going to be on TV tonight, so I will have to check that out. But, yeah, Solomon, I know how high he ranks on Arkansas's wish list, and it's very high. I think he's got it narrowed down to seven schools, and Arkansas is still alive right now. I think it's going to be very hard to get him out of Texas, even though they're pretty much in shambles right now. I think Stanford is a major player for him. Notre Dame might be creeping into the picture. A lot of schools to beat, but, you know, you just hope you can get him back on campus again at some point this season. He's already been up here a few times. His sister is in school up here. His father owns some property here in Fayetteville. So a lot of connections, but still a lot to overcome for Solomon Thomas. And then Chris Warren is a 2015 running back out of Texas. I want to say Rockwall, big-time kid, huge running back, 6'2", 225 or something. Looks like he's got some interest in Arkansas. I haven't reached out to him yet, but he does have an offer, and he's definitely one of their top guys.
Let's go to Brent in the Rock. Brent, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
just a quick question. Actually, since you got the recruiting guy on there, I was wondering if there's any information on if Sean McKenzie was ever going to come back down or try to reschedule his visit, or he's just off our radar. The other question I wanted to ask you guys is, what's the estimated financial impact for a home game in Fayetteville?
Well, when you say impact, do you mean money that the University of Arkansas just itself takes in, or
no? I mean, like
the surround,
I mean, yeah, I mean, like for private, you know, private businesses, everything
I think it's
else.
Around $6 million
per game.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that answers the question for me. It had nothing to do with any of the debate on the whatever about that. I just wanted to know, man. And hey, appreciate you guys. Love the show. Talk to you real soon.
All right, Brent. Danny, can you answer his earlier question?
Yes, sir. Sha McKenzie, 4-star running back, still has Arkansas in his top five. Another huge running back, but some bad news on Sha McKenzie. Just tore his ACL last week. I hated to see that. He was on his way to a huge senior season. He does still have an offer from all of the schools that have offered him. He's double-checked with all the coaches, so he's still in good standing as far as an offer. Arkansas is kind of fighting an uphill battle there. I think Pittsburgh, Virginia Tech, Florida State, and even Georgia Tech are going to be pretty tough to beat. The last time I talked to Sha McKenzie, he said Arkansas was at number five on his top five, so still some room to make up, but, you know, you're still in the mix there.
All right, let's go to Danny in Whitehall. Danny, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, Danny, I was wondering about, you know, I know people have asked you about him. Jarvis Cooper, 6'1", 250, runs a 4.640, bench presses 350. I mean, he's like everything you'd want in a linebacker. And why is it Arkansas isn't offering him? And that's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, Jarvis Cooper, again, he came up here. He's been up here for camps before, and they've always put him in a linebacker. He just, I don't know if he's missing a step, just doesn't quite have the speed you're looking for in an SEC linebacker. A typical tweener is what we normally call him. Jarvis is a great football player. He's in my top three in the state this year. But he's, you know, he's 6'1", 250. He's not big enough to play defensive end, doesn't have that type of frame. Nowhere near big enough to play defensive tackle, in my opinion. But I've always said this about Jarvis, that if you offer him and he comes, the worst-case scenario, you've got a good fullback. And in this offense, you're going to need a fullback. Jarvis is a football player. He'll play anywhere on the field for you. Either side of the ball doesn't matter to him. He loves contact. If it was up to me, I'd probably take a strong look at him as a fullback option, but you know, it's not up to me, so I don't see a whole lot happening right now, or in the near future. But Jarvis he's got a few Division I offers. He's going to find a good spot somewhere. Somebody's going to take a chance on him, and he'll end up somewhere, pretty respectable school.
Yeah, and Danny, I kind of want to get your thoughts. We've had a lot of callers call in about A.J. Derby and just what mm-hmm. you remember, I guess, last year scouting him or any junior college film or any film you've seen on him when he was actually playing. Just kind of expand for the listeners on A.J. Derby and what you expect from him coming up this Saturday against Rutgers.
Well, I think it's going to be key, Matt, for them to get him going early. You know, we haven't really seen any kind of dump off to the flats with these running backs. Alex Collins nor Jonathan Williams have caught a pass this year. I think you got to look at something quick, something easy like that. Get him a few throws under his belt, get his confidence going, and you know, try to get him in some kind of rhythm. He doesn't have the arm strength that a Brandon Allen or even an Austin Allen or even the accuracy of those two guys, but he's a serviceable quarterback. He's got some strengths. I think this week is all about finding, you know, those 10, 12 plays that he's absolutely great at and just throw out everything else. Focus on his strengths, get him going early, get him in some sort of rhythm, and I think that's the key for Derby.
Let's go to Rayshon in Conway. Rayshon, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, guys. I just had a couple questions for Danny. I was going to ask him if he could tell me who would be his top three senior receivers in the state of Arkansas this year, if he think any of them will get an offer, and also what do he think about the wide receivers from Russellville. And I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thank you.
The top three receivers, in my opinion, in the state this year, I got to look at Blake Mack from Lone Oak. I think he's already committed to Arkansas State. I'm trying to think of my kid down at Camden Fairview. I'm losing his name right now. But a very good kid down there. I think DeAndre Murray, even though he plays running back here at Springdale, I think he's probably a guy that you could project at receiver. Von Eric Gonder down at Warren comes to mind. Jalen Curtis right there at Russellville. And of course, Drew Smith is a guy at Russellville I would take a long look at. So those five or six, they're pretty much interchangeable, but I think the number one guy in the state is probably Blake Mack from what I've seen.
Danny, tell us about Rafe Peavy and Ty Story. Obviously, Arkansas fans kind of wish that at least Rafe would already be on the team because he might be able to help out at that quarterback position with Brandon Allen going down. But how are they doing their senior and junior years in high school?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, Trey, with all the talk about Arkansas's quarterback situation right now. I decided to reach out to the future quarterbacks and kind of see how they're doing. And I was pretty much blown away with the numbers that they sent me. Rafe Peavy, the 2014 commitment, he is 40 of 49. That's 82% passing for 495 yards and three touchdowns. And he's also carried it 55 times for 350 yards and five touchdowns. He's got his team. And I've seen his team, guys. Take nothing away from him. With all due respect, he has very little to work with. And he's got those guys at number two in the state of Missouri. Very impressive start for him. And Ty Story, the 2015 commit from Charleston, has hit over 70% of his passes so far, right at 800 yards through two games, seven touchdowns and only two interceptions, and he's carried it a few times for about 14 yards. Not much of a runner, but he can throw it all over the field. He's got Charleston off to a 2-0 start again this year. They beat Clarksville and Gentry, two schools that are, you know, in higher classification, so it looks like Charleston's on their way to another successful season.
Real quick, before we let you go, I want to ask you, how many five stars are on Rivals as far as for the 2016 class? Because you said Malik Monk's a five star. How many actually are five stars? Is there 20 of them, or is there more like 10 of them?
No, I think there's more like 10. Without looking, Matt, I couldn't tell you right offhand, but Malik is one of them. He's ranked number seventh in the nation. As far as the first recruiting rankings that just came out this week, I expect him to keep climbing in that list, maybe even end up in the top three before he's all said and done. But there's more like 10 or 12 if I had to guess. Five.
Thanks, Danny. We'll be back with more after this. Stay with us.
Thank y'all.